pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye!
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. Here we have one of those very traditional dog days of summer. Really warm, really hot. Hi, Carol. You there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. It's quite toasty outside. But I enjoy it. I enjoy the heat. I'm very comfortable in it, but it's a little difficult for some people. And people should be aware that midday is not the best time to go out or go running or sit in the sun. I always go out in the morning till about 11 and then come in and then go back out. I walk or go out around 3 in the afternoon till sunset, and I love it. But midday is not the best time to be in the sun. What do you think, Carol?
Probably not, although I've been in the sun during those hours. And I never wear sunscreen. I feel that I need the vitamin D. I've also heard, I don't know if you've heard this too, that if you have plenty of vitamin E aboard, you won't burn no matter what. I'm not sure the truth of that, but I have heard it. And the sun is so important, and we really don't get enough in North America and entirely, even in the southern states, we don't get enough vitamin D. And it's so important. And the best is through your skin. Then I heard come along with that, as we get older and older and older, our skin doesn't do it as efficiently as it did when it was younger.
It reduces the conversion.
Yeah, it must be another aging clock.
I think so. So today we're going to be, guess what? We're going to be talking about your favorite subject. We're going to be talking about, can you use too much progesterone? This is Carol's favorite subject. We're also going to be talking with you, and we really would love to hear from you, because you help us expand the conversation. And the number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And as we begin speaking and sharing our thoughts, hopefully thoughts will come to you and you'll want to join this conversation. It's going to be a good one. But more than that, I want to also begin with the fact that WBAI is an experiment. It's an experiment in community. And that community that we have is so important and so essential. It allows us to share this information with you. And there's no other radio station like this. There's no other radio station where you can call in and ask questions. You can call in and share your thoughts. This is unique. And like I said, it's a unique experiment in community, a 60-year-old plus experiment. And it's pretty exciting to be a part of it. I've been a part of it for 23 years. Carol's been a part of it for 7 or 8 years now, isn't it, Carol?
Must be something like that.
And it's priceless. It's priceless for our ability to speak with you, to share information. I'll never forget. Remember Jamie Kaufman?
She's one of my heroes.
Yeah, she's a Harvard grad, a specialist in urology. And we were talking with her, and at the end of the show, she said, wait a minute. I want to say something. I want to thank you, she said. I want to thank you for allowing me to share this information with the audience. She said, I have been blocked for years in my ability to share this information because it's not traditional. It's not what urologists talk about. And I have been blocked by my organization, by all the medical organizations that I've submitted to speak with, and they wouldn't listen to me. But WBAI has allowed me the audience, and it just blew up. How many of us, before we spoke to Jamie Kaufman, understood that asthma could be caused by reflux? And she had a direct diagnosis and ability to diagnose this. And not many of us understood that. And Jamie Kaufman brought it to us. And she brought it to us through WBAI. So what we're going to ask you to do, as well as call in and share our conversation with us about progesterone and what it means to our health, to our mental state, to our reproductive state, to our just entire sense of well-being. We're also going to ask you to call in to WBAI or go to the website and become our buddy. You already are. That's why you're listening. You already are our buddy. So call in and donate to give $10 a month, $20 a month, $25 a month, whatever you can afford. And at $10 a month, you'll receive a WBAI tote bag. And you can stop that at any month you choose. But doing this supports WBAI and keeps a regular flow of income. There's nothing that makes us feel more secure, no matter how much it is, than a regular flow of income. It allows us to plan for our ability to pay our electricity, our phone bills, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what you can do for WBAI while WBAI is giving you priceless information that is not being shared with you in any other medium. So the number to call is 212-209-2950, and you can become our buddy, or you can go to give to WBAI.com and continue this amazing experiment, this amazing program in community in New York City and the tri-state area. So, can we use too much progesterone, Carol?
I don't think so.
You don't think
yet,
so?
Yet people are so afraid of progesterone. And when you're in utero, you're swimming, both men and women, by the way, are swimming in a sea of progesterone. And to put it in perspective, like 20 to 30 nanograms per milliliter, if you would do a blood test during the second part of a woman's cycle, from ovulation to start of bleeding, this part of the cycle is when you have ovulated and the corpus luteum that results puts out a ton of progesterone. So you get maybe 20, 30 would be a very, very robust luteal level in the blood. So when you get pregnant, I put in my article, I had seen 200 was a good level, but now I'm seeing that some labs have reported 400, 500. nanograms per milliliter in the third trimester of pregnancy. So can we get anywhere near that? And I know you can't, because even with the best absorbed progesterone, which would be a direct injection, you still can only get luteal. So before we talk about progesterone being toxic, we have to really exceed the level that gets to its highest in the third trimester of pregnancy. Yet, I see many integrative medicine practitioners are being trained to use very, very tiny doses. And these small doses can cause a lot of havoc, whereas a good dose, a sufficient dose, you'll find progesterone is calming, sleep is improved, no water retention, no breast enlargement, no anxiety, no panic attacks, no, did I say fluid retention, all sorts of wonderful things, not to mention the wonderful long-term effects on your bone. You create new bone, your brain works better, your skin, hair, and nails all look better if you have adequate progesterone. So this is indeed the hormones, bioidentical hormones. I'm talking about the hormone that is identical to human, are an important pillar of what we are calling anti-aging medicine. But I prefer lengthening the health span of our bodies. We shouldn't be just going downhill all the time. We should be able to compensate and adjust as part of the beauty of being human, that we can make adjustments.
Now, very often when women have had hysterectomies or when they've had menstrual problems, they're literally told by their doctors that they don't need progesterone any longer. And when they go into menopause, they're told they don't need progesterone any longer. Now, we know that progesterone is a very important part of the body, right down to the cells that nurture the neurons, make their own progesterone, and are constantly servicing and giving that progesterone to the neurons, the Schwann cells. So, Carol, what do you think is happening? Do people need progesterone after menopause?
Or a
hysterectomy?
Oh, definitely. Dr. Katarina Dalton, and she was a pioneer in using progesterone. She's the first that characterized the problems during the luteal phase that women were having. Her book, Once a Month, was all about using progesterone for PMS. She's the woman that characterized all the symptoms that women can experience with low progesterone. And then she wrote another one, Depression After Childbirth. You are pregnant. And as I said, the high levels of pregnancy progesterone, as soon as you deliver, bang, you're down to whatever it is you can create on your own without all that support. That support came from the placenta. And once the placenta leaves the human female's body, you've lost a ton of progesterone. It's so protective for the fetus and for the mom. And now you're down to mom only. And sometimes I have this question about, is it safe to use progesterone if mom is nursing the baby? And of course, the baby's been exposed to a whole lot more than would be coming through the breast milk than before. And the baby is going, their mood is going to be sweeter. They're going to have less colicky issues, less sleeping issues because of the progesterone in the mom's milk. So now, a good thing.
Katharina Dalton also documented the fact that women who have higher progesterone during their pregnancy, what they find is that their children are calmer. Their children have higher IQs. And when they track this over years and years, they find that the mothers with the higher progesterone, the children had a higher rate of graduating from graduate institutions. That what happens is that that support that the neurons got, the support that the neurons received when the mother was pregnant, carries over throughout the child's entire life. But Carol, what about boy babies? Do boy babies and boys need any progesterone? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, they do. And it has been used successfully when children and adolescents are diagnosed with ADD, ADHD. Progesterone should be considered before all these stimulant drugs are. And why do I say that? This activity is because of high adrenaline. And adrenaline makes us creative, but it also makes us nervous. We can't sleep. We have racing thoughts. Can't sit still, which is maybe a problem with our educational system too. But nonetheless, children cannot do this because they don't have the cushioning effect of the progesterone. So it's probably the adrenal progesterone that's not being made in good enough amounts. And it's the amount of progesterone that should be calming. So it could be used. I once met a student, actually a pharmacy student, who had done a rotation with Dr. Platt, who wrote this book on adrenaline. He had read about Dr. Platt's work, and he started progesterone in his late teens or early 20s. And he said for the first time in his whole life, he's been able to focus. Now, we're so afraid of giving men too much progesterone. What does that look like? It's a good question. We really haven't investigated it enough. I know practitioners have used a little progesterone, 10, 30 milligrams, or higher doses, as Dr. Platt recommended, 100 milligrams each meal to help with insulin resistance, as we've talked about on this program many times. And he also says about 300 milligrams a day would help shrink and enlarge prostate. And so when you look at the drugs that are developed for prostate enlargement, you can go to Wikipedia, look up the structure for progesterone, look up the structure for the drugs. Proscar comes to mind is the name of one. And you'll see it looks just like the progesterone molecule, slightly altered. Now, why in the world would be an altered chemical be the good thing and the real thing not? Corinne, I think we have a caller.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hello, welcome. You're on BAI.
Hello.
Hi, your name, please?
Yes, and if you could speak up louder, I can't hear you in the phone. I don't know if this is off topic, but I think I might have called in a week ago. My daughter, her body took after her father's, and he died of complications to diabetes, and she's been very heavy. She's pregnant, and she was just told, oh, well, she has diabetes, and I think she might have had it with the first child, too. But she's quick to say it's hormonal. It's not food related, and I wish I could tell her doctor something. So I want to know, like, is this something good for her? And then you're talking about ADD. I think I have it and my son had it. How would we go about doing that?
Well, there are a few things. First of all, her diabetes might be being aggravated hormonally.
Can you talk into the phone? I can't hear you.
But it's created dietarily. So we know that if she was put on the right diet, her diabetes of pregnancy would can and would resolve itself. And I've seen it happen multiple times where I have had women with elevated blood sugars. I began as a midwife. So that's what I did, is I worked with pregnant women. And I saw multiple women who would have elevated blood sugars, and we checked them every single week, and we literally watched their blood sugars go into normal with very specific low carbohydrate and starch diets. I think there is a bit of a there's a bit of a denial when people are saying that diabetes is genetic. Yes, my father was diabetic. He died of diabetic complications. My grandfather was diabetic. He died of a heart attack, but that was aggravated by diabetic complications. So I personally have a higher tendency to diabetes, but yet I'm not diabetic. Neither are my brothers and sisters, because we've been aware of the problem, the potential problem, from when we were younger, and we didn't want it in our lives. So we have worked to avoid it through dietary manipulation. Yes, we have a tendency toward diabetes. If I ate the same way that someone else ate and they didn't get diabetes, I could get diabetes. I have to be more vigilant than people without that family history. And the same with your daughter also. To just write it off as hormonal, I think it's not doing the best for her or for her child. And she could adjust that to some degree. Carol?
Corinne, you already referred to the study Katarina Dalton did with giving women progesterone during their pregnancy. They were the ones with the history with PMS. She just kept them on progesterone the whole time. Dr. Ray Pete had observed that when the gestational type of diabetes develops, it is a progesterone deficiency. And progesterone's in charge of making sure the fetus has enough oxygen. And gestational diabetes is the fallback system, he said, that it's still going to help your fetus get the oxygen it needs. But the under these conditions, it's much more strained and doesn't have the wonderful effects of progesterone. So in infertility work, there are doctors that maintain the pregnancies all the way through with progesterone. There's progesterone derivatives that are used to help prevent miscarriages that had been published by NIH some time ago. So all that is pointing to perhaps that pregnancy does not have enough progesterone. And I don't know that doctors, conventional doctors, have been trained to look at optimals. They may be tracking progesterone early on in the first trimester. The placenta hasn't started putting out progesterone yet. So your body has to do it and put it out in high luteal or a little bit higher amounts. And it's not till you get these really high amounts that you're safe. But now I'm wondering, because of some of this history of gestational diabetes and what Ray Pete had written, if we don't have like an optimal progesterone level. And as I said earlier about the test results, I've seen testing go from 200 to say 550. And then I also saw that as low as 50, you can maintain the pregnancy. So where ought you be during a pregnancy with progesterone? I think there's probably a fair, good, great, and optimal levels.
And there's one other thing. Standard, in terms of standard care, we don't generally take progesterone levels throughout the pregnancy. Only with people who have had multiple miscarriages would that be a procedure. But even then, after the pregnancy is more stabilized, there's no more progesterone levels that are taken. So that's not even tracked at that time. So
we have another caller.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Hi, you're live on BAI.
Good evening. This is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
How you doing? It's a two-part question. My wife, she sleeps a lot, doesn't have energy, and she's heavy bleeding when she has her menses, bleeds for a long period. And I told her about this show because I heard this show a while back. You did it, you and the young lady did it before. So I was wondering, where can I find some progesterone, some natural progesterone for my wife to take, and how many milligrams? And also, I did a test. My testosterone levels, which sound crazy, that the doctor told me that, oh, they're normal, but they're low. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. Either they're low or they're normal.
That's right. It doesn't make sense.
Hello?
Corinne, what did you say?
Do you know numbers at all? Do you remember numbers at all?
Oh, for the testosterone?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember the numbers, Corinne. He just told me it was normal low. He didn't tell me the numbers.
Yeah. So personally, in multiple hormone levels, I like to be normal high or high normal. Because of what we do is we find people more energetic, more vibrant. You know, they did tests on the presidents. And when what they found were the presidents or the leaders were much higher in testosterone than just regular people who were just in regular life. So people who are more driven, who have more chi, who have more energy to take on life, have higher testosterone levels. And testosterone can be brought up in a few ways and naturally. And one of the things that can be very effective is maca. And royal maca can be very effective to help support and bring up testosterone levels. Actually, it works through the adrenals to strengthen the adrenals. And people get more vibrance. We also found that exercise can be very, very powerful in terms of bringing up testosterone levels. And then there is a very specific herb, and it's available here, but what they do is they keep the herb levels so low in the capsules that you have to take so many of them to get literally a therapeutic dose. It's called Tongkat Ali, T-O-N-K-A-T-A-L-I. And it has been shown to bring up testosterone levels. And also the one that is very obvious is called horny goat weed, and that's from Jamaica. And that also can bring up testosterone levels. And those have been shown that it's measurable, the difference. But also,
and so can pine pollen, tablespoon at a time, and so can DHEA.
Oh, DHEA can be very.
Yep, you can supplement testosterone if your doctor will give you a prescription.
Personally, that would not be my first way to go, is to supplement testosterone. If nothing else works, then I would go to supplement testosterone. But before that, I would do these other modalities to bring it up naturally. So there's no suppression at all. There's only bringing up. And in terms of your wife being tired all the time, that's a very important symptom of the fact that her adrenals, her entire energy isn't working. It's not working for her. And also, she might be quite anemic if you're talking about heavy, heavy bleeding. So what working with progesterone can be very effective in terms of, number one, I'd get some good B vitamins in her. I'd get B12, which I'd give her every single day, and a B complex, an activated B complex that I would give her every day. But then, you know what else? And I would make sure she's eating protein, adequate protein. We don't need tons, but we need some daily. And then, I would do heavy progesterone to get that bleeding down. Now she's
That's in the first part of the cycle. From day one of bleeding to the mid-cycle, you have to have more progesterone. And that progesterone should be made by the adrenal glands, as Corinne is saying, and it's not adequate. So that heavy bleeding issue is something progesterone can prevent, but it's got to be there in the beginning part of the cycle to prevent too much tissue building up.
Now she
How many milligrams?
This is the great debate.
Whole time for that.
And if I can say so, my website page is thewellnessbydesignproject.com, and I just published about how sometimes we interpret low progesterone symptoms as too much progesterone when it's everything but. You really need more. And one of the big problems of progesterone in dosing women and men is how well you're absorbing it. How well can you get it through your skin? How well do you organize it if you you organize it into your body if you're swallowing it, or if you're using it vaginally or rectally? All of these different ways to use it have different absorption patterns, and it can be quite challenging. And that's when we get into some pretty high numbers. And when I mean the numbers that I've seen, having women using like 1,000, 2,000, 2,500 milligrams of progesterone totally throughout the day in various dosage forms can be an issue. I once worked with a young woman who had such heavy bleeding, and she was a young girl. And each month she was in the emergency room getting a blood transfusion. She was bleeding so heavily.
Whoa.
And it took 1,700 milligrams of progesterone daily to bring that back under control. So then after you get it under control, then you can start looking around for what is making this happen. What's not going right in the body that you needed so much progesterone to work? But I'd at least start with a couple hundred milligrams, and there's several progesterone products on my website. I chose them for their effectiveness and their strength. And so if you're going to use a topical, which is what you can get over the counter, I'd say at least 100 milligrams of topical, if not 200 milligrams in the first part of the cycle, and then 400 to 600 to 800 in the second part of the cycle. But go with the symptoms. The symptoms, one of the easiest ones to track is anxiety. There should be no anxiety. There should be no sleeplessness. There should be a calmness. And when you achieve that, you know you have enough.
Her energy will not come back if she's anemic, if her blood level is so low. So you have to address blocking that heavy, heavy bleeding. And just like Carol said, you can very effectively block it with progesterone. Now, I must tell you, I've been able to block it with lower amounts than that. I've been able to block some heavy bleeding with 500 milligrams. And the highest I've had to go up to is about 900 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams. But that's my experience. So think of that with your wife And also, think about you and building yourself up in your stamina and your strength. Okay.
And have your wife's testosterone checked out, too.
Exactly. So,
your website, Wellness by Design?
Yes.
It's the wellnessbydesignproject.com or simply Carol Peterson with all E's. .com. And please, listeners, please sign up for my blog and my email, because I'm trying to get information out to everybody how you really can take charge of your own health. And it's like a medical wasteland out there. Not people don't have good access, and they don't have access to what I would call hormone literate doctors is what
exactly.
That's what the people are calling them after they've been to 10 doctors with no results, because doctors do not spend enough time learning this facet of medicine. And you would think an endocrinologist would know that, but they don't. They focus on diabetes and they focus on low thyroid. And neither of those do they do a very good job either by bringing people back to normal. They just put patches on usually. So we have to spend our dollars judiciously, and we need to spend those dollars on people who can give us the means and the information we need to take care of ourselves. So if you go to a surgeon when you're bleeding, what's the surgeon going to offer you? Take it out. Useless. You're not going to have any more children. Just cut it out. It won't be a problem for you anymore.
And the fact that she is really not high functioning because she's so exhausted is really a problem that needs to be addressed. So we have another caller. And thank you so much, Greg, for your call. It was really, really informative. So, hi, you're live.
No callers.
AI?
Not
what?
Yet.
Not yet. Oh, I saw one. Okay, so the number to call, so you can donate to this station, so you can keep this community alive and thriving, so you can become our buddy, is 212-209-2950. This is a tax-deductible donation, but what we need are buddies, and buddies go together, support each other, work together, and create a community, and that's what we would like you to do. We'd like you to donate. We need monthly donations. It could be $10 a month. It could be $15 a month. It could be $25 a month. It can be whatever is comfortable for you. It will come directly out of your account, and you can stop it at any time. And when you become a buddy at a minimum of $10 a month and or more, what will happen is that you'll receive this absolutely lovely WBAI tote bag, which is terrific to walk around the streets carrying it and showing those around you that you're part of this community, and this community is important to you. Now, fortunately, there's another bonus, and I said it, it's tax deductible. But the ability to run this station is based on you. The ability to receive information is based on WBAI. And BAI is very courageous. It has been from its inception. It allowed quite unique and aggressive health information to be on the air before it was popular 25 years ago. And people were getting healthier and joining together. And Gary Null was doing walks in the park with people, getting them healthier. And that was only through WBAI. There's no other station on your dial that has connected to you and been so supportive of you and your health as WBAI. And it's your time to come back with your side of the bargain and support WBAI. Support, take charge of your health, because what happens is that the ability to hear this, the ability to create a community through the radio is through WBAI. I remember when Dr. Ali, Dr. Kakai, Kathy Davis, and I would go to homes and churches and do talks on health. And we found that when we did this, overall, people's blood pressure came down as they were understanding how to take care of themselves. People's blood sugar overall came down as people were understanding the dynamics of how foods and carbs related directly to blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C. How many radio stations do you know that have come into your community free to set up seminars and get your community, your church group, your group of friends healthier? You've never heard of that before, but WBAI did it, and we did it gladly. We didn't do it because we were getting paid. We did it because this is our community. We're a responsible side and part of this community. And I'm so proud of us. I'm proud of being part of this experiment. I'm proud to be able to share this information with you. So the number to call and become our buddy, make it official, is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Or give to WBAI.com. You can go to your internet, give to, the number two, WBAI.com, and sign up. Become our buddy. We need you. We know you're there. You hear us. And this gentleman that just called said he had heard us before, and he made sure that he could listen again so he could get more information and a better understanding of his health and his wife's health. What's the value of that? Become a buddy. Monthly, share with us so we can continue not only to survive, we want to thrive. We deserve to thrive. We support you and your family in thriving. So it's now time for you to support us. So 212-209-2950 is the number for donation.
And call in.
212-209-2877 is the number to call in with your questions. Give us a call. You know, Carol, I would see women after pregnancy. They would deliver their babies, and then they would go into such severe depression that they would become almost non-functional. And that would last for a month or two while their body restabilized their hormones. And what we found, and this was totally unique at the time, this was almost 40 years ago, what we found that by using progesterone, people would stabilize quite rapidly, much faster, and they would feel like different people. Their brain would be calmer, they'd sleep better, their energy would come up, and they'd feel happier. Have you seen that, Carol?
Oh, definitely, and it can be even worse. Katarina Dalton's and her depression after childbirth is more than depression. It can become homicidal and suicidal, even. The despair that some women experience after the birth of their children when these huge amount of hormones come tumbling down and your body doesn't have enough reserves to support the bare minimum so that it doesn't. So Dr. Dalton even worked with the prison system and helped some women with their issues. They were imprisoned for the violence that they had after childbirth or during PMS. And she substantiated that they were suffering severely from hormone deficiencies.
So we have two callers on the line. Please, we're going to go to one. Hold on. It'll take a couple minutes before we get to you. Hold on. But I also want to correct myself. I got so enthusiastic and so excited. The number of the email is give2 WBAI.org. I said .com. It's .org. So we're going right to the listener. Hi, you're live on BAI. Hi. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
And I'd like to know how
would. Caller, speak up. We could barely hear you.
Bravo McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Better.
Good. Hi, everybody. First of all, listeners, we need at least $500 for this program because the station needs $100,000 so that we can keep listening to this information, which you will find zero anywhere, internet or on the dial. Two, thank you, folks, for providing the information. My mom's 102 years old, and I'd like to know. Oh. I'd like to know how whether I could go to the website to get testing as to how progesterone would be effective in keeping her getting into 103.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Hormones have been shown to support brain health, to support energy, to support focus. My mother died at 101, but she had hormones all the way through. She was on a full complement of hormones. It started with pregnenolone, which is wonderful for the brain, and it also is a precursor of other hormones. And then DHEA, I gave her that. I gave her pregnenolone, DHEA. Then I gave her progesterone and estrogen, but then I also gave her testosterone. And when she would go to the doctors, the doctor would look at her bloods and say, oh my gosh, I wish all my 23-year-olds had such good blood profiles. They'd check her bones. They'd say, oh, this is beautiful, just beautiful. And she'd say, well, my daughter gave me, and she'd read off the list that I just gave you. And the doctor would say, oh, you don't need any of that. But what had happened is that those hormones were supporting her, keeping her strong, keeping her mentally focused. 1 month before my mother died, I do crossword puzzles. And when I get stuck, I take a picture of them and send them to my mother. And she she always knows the right answer and sends it back to me. So what we want is a mother that's strong, focused, good brain, remembers us, sharp as a tack, and you're going to be able to support that through hormones. I would definitely start her on pregnenolone, and that's over the counter. I'd do a minimum of 100 milligrams. And then with older people, I go piece by piece. I wouldn't do everything at once. And then once she's on pregnenolone for a week or two, I would do DHEA 25 milligrams, start her out for 1 week or two on 25, and then I would go to 50. And then I would then make the choice to do progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone. But congratulations on having such a healthy mother.
Are there any proprietaries, or is there a place, or on Carol's website or your website, is there a place that I can, is testing important here, and are there any proprietaries that we can use?
Well, you could. The trouble is the state of New York. Well, I have three labs on my website, but all of which is functional testing, and this is, you can order it by yourself. These are consumer direct labs, and it's time the people of New York revolted against the suppression they're experiencing about having access to particular labs. They make it so difficult that most people don't bother. I just became friends with an owner of a new lab in Houston, and she said, so for every single analyte, the single thing you want to measure, you have to do reams of paperwork for New York State. It becomes so expensive, people don't just do it. So if she lives outside of New York, she can order the tests. You can go to a blood draw station. You can have somebody come to the house and pull the blood. So you get a really good idea of what's going on.
The other thing is that we don't really have averages in 100 or 102-year-olds. So you're going to... It really would be good to work with someone who has an understanding of hormones, an understanding of balancing, and right down to nutrients, because we don't have any type of ranges that cover 102-year-olds. It would be best to work with a practitioner in terms of working with your mom. So
thank you so much. And folks, come up with the cash. We need 500 for this show so that it won't be preempted the next fundraiser time, that because the station needs $100,000 now. Thank you.
Oh yeah, we hate that.
Yeah, we want to be here all the time. We love it. Hi, you're live on BAI.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, look at this.
I was enjoying listening to the gentleman who was just on, Mr. Mom, who's 101.
Why wouldn't you?
I had Anne, who passed, missing her 107th birthday.
Wow.
In 1997. So I enjoyed listening to him. But I had wanted to ask you about progesterone in the 80 and 90-year-olds.
Okay. Now,
definitely.
I tell you, Carol, we've got a minute and a half to answer that question, or a minute to answer that question. So,
okay, for the long term.
Your call. Carol, go.
For long term, after you stop menstruating, you're entirely dependent on your adrenal glands for all your sex hormone activity, estrogens, testosterone, DHEA, and progesterone. So I would make sure to check the other hormones too. But progesterone is second to DHEA in the amount that your body makes and uses. So your body wants to have a lot of it, and it's easily diverted by stress of any sort. And we unfortunately are living in stressful times.
We are at the end of our show. I want to thank you so much. Please, please call in. Support WBAI. You see how important this show is and this station is for all of the listeners. And we will be back next week. Carol, thank you so much. It's always fun. I always learn.
Me too.
Thank you for making our show better. When you participate, our show just gets better and better. And we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnestad. About a dozen states in the U.S. are under excessive heat warnings, from Florida.